The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports
Bams
show.
On Bra.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart. They're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome into episode number 54 of Babes on Broad. I'm Sam Wilson with my co-host Jesse Town, and we are the Babes on Broad, brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Now, let's get right to it, Jess. The 4-8-1 Philadelphia Eagles after their 24-21 over the Saints, led by no other than the rookie quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. I mean, they won. I'm so happy they won. It's the weirdest win I think I've ever experienced as an Eagles fan, because we didn't really know what to expect. Do we want to just wait for a draft pick that we know the organization's going to screw up anyway? The Cowboys also won, so, like, we were falling lower. You know, there's half the people that really wanted Jalen Hurts to fail, and half the people really wanted Jalen Hurts to succeed. It's just a very, very strange season as it is, and I think this is one of the weirdest wins, and I think it's really strange that people are – like, I didn't really know how to feel as it was going on. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but you have to be excited and – happy about what you saw from Jalen Hurts and what you saw from the offense, from the deep, you from everyone. You have to be happy about what you saw they're actually capable of doing, but wonder why it took this long.
No, and I agree with that completely. Like, I was excited for the win because, like you said, it's a win, and we saw other pieces other than Jalen Hurts performing very well too. So that's very, like, finally we get to see that. But I think I was so stressed. The better he did, the more stressed, just because I was trying to think of, like, game plan, like, what's my opinion on this? Really don't know what to expect. Like, I don't know if they're gonna let Jalen Hurts play out the rest of this year, and if he keeps performing well, if they're gonna keep him and then keep Carson and keep a controversy there. I don't know if they want to use him as a trade bait. There's a lot of people going with the narrative now that Carson can never be coached by Doug again, because Doug's had like an 11-2 record without Carson, and then like a 53-54 record with Carson. So, like, something nuts like that. So, like, there's just so many, I don't know which narrative I can, like, actually see out, like, playing out, or what narrative I think should happen. Like, I don't understand, but I just don't know. Like, it's stressing me out.
And
props to him, made it way tougher on all of us.
Yeah, shout out to him for doing that. But let's talk about some of the, you know, the positives of the game. So, I mean, I think the biggest point to make is they finally utilized the run game the way that they should. Jalen Hurts was a huge part of that. You know, the one leg up he definitely has on Carson Wentz is Jalen is just he's a freak athlete. He's such a good athlete. Now we do have to keep in mind that, you know, Carson was way more willing to take off and make some of those plays with his legs a couple years ago. And then he tore an ACL, and everyone was like, he has to stop doing that. We have to make him stop doing that.
Yeah, protect the baby kind of thing.
Well, this is what happens. Like, you know, God forbid any injury like that ever happened to Jalen Hurts. You hope it doesn't impact his game like that. So that's something you do have to keep in mind. And no, that's not me being a Wentz apologist. That's just a fact that we just have to address. But the way that they kind of utilized both things there and didn't get away from it regardless of what happened. Now, it helped that they were winning the whole time is why they didn't get away mm-hmm. from the run game. It'd be a yeah. different story if they were down 17-0 as opposed to up 17-0. We don't know what will happen there. But the emphasis on the run game was something that obviously we had hoped we would see, and I'm glad that we actually did, especially against one of the better run defenses in the NFL. Sticking to it the way that they did obviously was a big key to their success on Sunday.
Yeah, it's like the first time the Eagles have had two 100-yard rushers in – I don't even remember the stat. I mean, obviously, the run game had a huge part of it. That was one of my things. Jalen had a great game, but it was majority because of his run game. Like, even yeah. if you look at his throwing stats, like, he only threw – he was 17 for 30 with 167 yards. So it's not like he blew him away right. with his quarterback skills other yeah. than the run. You know what right. I mean?
Absolutely. And he still, I mean, watching him go through his reads was agonizing. I mean, he made really good decisions through the entire game, which is huge. And not something we've seen up to this point is good decision-making mm-hmm. by anybody.
Yeah.
He made no, really right. good decisions, which I very much appreciated.
That's been one of Carson's biggest flaws this year.
100%. And but Jalen definitely also still left plays out there. He, again, doesn't go through his reads well, but again, that goes back to coaching. There's no reason that we should be having this problem. I know he's a rookie, but like still, I mean, how long until the coaching staff and the quarterback coach and whatever screws him up too? Because I still think he has work to do there. Again, he's a rookie. You know, not trying to be overly critical, but you know, it's still the truth. But you're right. His legs are, you know, what and we talked about this in our pregame show on Sunday. If they were going to win this game, sticking to the run game and Jalen Hurts being a big part of that run game was what was going to make them successful. Him out-dumping Taysom Hill in the run game is what was going to lead them to a win.
Yeah. And before I look negative for pointing that out, I do just want to say the fact that he can lean on his run game means that he's going to be able to grow in that passing game because when he gets in tough situations – yeah, he can bail out in that run. So it's only going to give him more confidence and allow him to grow in his passing game as well. So it'll eventually lead well for Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to have a great career, whether he's in Philly, whether he's not.
Right. And I think the play designs were a little bit better on Sunday. Not the play calling. I still thought the play calling was extremely predictable, i.e. the fourth down where Malcolm Jenkins saw it coming from outside of the stadium.
To be fair, though. Because they already got, like, three fourth downs by that time. So, like, I feel like obviously they're eventually going to stop on one fourth down. And they had to keep the play calling simple because it was a rookie quarterback. Everybody was just kind of – so they even came out afterwards and said our play plan or our game plan was a very simple game. Because it was one of the things I was like, well, why didn't you just make it simple when your team was struggling so bad?
Sure, but I still thought that it was way too predictable. There's a way to make the play calling simple, but not predictable. Like, for example, the quarterback sneak on fourth and one that got absolutely blown up and they lost a yard. I mean, not ideal. That's not what they had been doing on fourth down to that point that was successful. And they decided to make a stupid decision. Doug made another stupid decision. And instead of continuing to do what was working, they decided to do something else. If they were going to bring Wentz in for a play or a series like they did with Jalen Hurts, that was the one. That was the one. Carson Wentz doesn't lose those. That man is 6'5", 220. He's not losing those. But you know, I thought they just designed them better. They didn't. They still weren't rolling him out because they weren't rolling the whole offensive line out one way or another. Mm-hmm. But they were running those bootlegs to let Jalen get a little bit more space. So he wasn't standing in the pocket, letting it collapse, and you know taking unnecessary hits. He only took one hit. And on that touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffery, that was the only time. So the offensive line stepped up as well, which was really nice to see. You know, we'll have another version of that offensive line.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Everyone stepped up from the defense to the offensive line. Miles Sanders played with better patience. Alshon Jeffery remembered how to use his hands. What a time to be alive.
For one pass.
Still missed time to jump, by the way. Still missed time to jump. But – I also think the defense should get a lot of credit for the way they played on
Sunday. 100%.
And this might be a little bit of a hot take here, but say what you want about Jim Schwartz, and I know we all have. We've talked a lot about how Jim supposedly has control over the defensive roster, and he makes, you know, but something as simple as like last year when he was choosing between Zach Brown or, you know, I the names escaped me, the guy who ended up going to the Patriots and having like a phenomenal year. And he chose
Patrick Brown.
No, it was a linebacker, Jamie something. His last name's escaped me. But anyway, he had a decision, like how he was like, pick Zach Brown or this guy. And he was like, I want Zach Brown. Okay, that was the wrong decision. All right. He can take the L there. Fine. But now knowing what we know and seeing what we have this season of Howie, what he's doing, what he's done, going, you know, everyone submitting Justin Jefferson as their first round draft pick and Howie going behind their backs and saying, we're taking and selecting Jalen Reagor. Everyone submitting Jeremy Chinn as their second round pick and Howie going behind their backs and picking Jalen Hurts. All of these things and knowing what we know now, how much do we actually fault him for the roster that they have? Because Sunday they were dropping.
You mean Jim Schwartz or Howie?
Jim Schwartz.
Okay, because you just got me heated thinking about all that Howie stuff, and I was just like,
sorry, you blacked out for a second?
Yeah, I blacked
out. That's what I'm saying. How much do we really fault Jim Schwartz for the guys that are on the roster? Because Sunday, against some really good, talented players, he put his guys, the Alex Singletons, the all of the backup corners and their backups. I mean, they were dropping like flies on the defense on Sunday, and he had all of his guys in the perfect positions to succeed.
No, yeah, I definitely think that what we know from Howie now takes a lot of pressure off of him. And Jim Schwartz, it's kind of always been his thing. Like last year when they made it to the playoffs, the beginning of the year, their defense was terrible. And it was the same thing we were talking about this year with injuries and just Jim Schwartz's scheme. And they were terrible and everybody was questioning for his job. But then by the end of it, he did the same thing that he's kind of doing now and flipped it and made him good again. So I think it's just more, not that he's not good, he's just inconsistent.
Sure.
And
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and you could make an argument that if Howie wasn't there calling the pieces, maybe he could put players where he wants them and that would affect it. So you could make that argument. I don't know what I would do like right off the top of my head for next year. I mean, I don't know if I would have him back or have him gone, because that is a fair point.
Sure.
But it's definitely interesting. I mean, Alex Singleton, it's one of the guys that when Nate Gary got hurt, we were like, oh yeah, Nate Gary's backup. But no, he's performing very well, and he's been performing very well. And Josh Sweat, another great game, and he had two sacks. One was a strip sack that the Eagles ended up recovering, which ultimately led to Miles Sanders getting that final touchdown. So I mean, he's got good pieces here and there that he's developed.
Right. And he's putting those pieces, like, you know, having Duke Riley in the position to make that interception. He gave all the credit to Jim Schwartz for having him in that position to be able to make that. I just think that given, like, you can choose this guy or this guy, I think that's where Jim might have, quote, control over the defensive roster. And, like, do you want to keep this guy or do you want to keep this guy? I think that might be where his actual opinion really comes in and where Howie listens. But other than that, building this roster, I truly doubt, like, because then why wouldn't Doug have that control over the offensive roster? You know what I mean? The quote.
No, that's a great point.
So I just don't think that as much stock should be put into that at this point, now knowing what we know. Granted, putting Nate Gary on Chase Claypool, you know, at the end of the Steelers game in a close game like that, that's Jim, right? Like, that's on Jim Schwartz. I know they were only – it was only Taysom Hill, but Taysom Hill hasn't lost, you know, as a starter until Sunday. He played really well. Their run game is really good with guys like Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas is still out there. You know, like, they did a really good job of containing that offense and not ever really getting – you know, with having their backs against the wall at any point. So I give Jim Schwartz a lot of credit for what they put out there on Sunday, especially when they were losing guys to injuries.
I agree.
So let's talk about that.
Let's get into the not so good that we saw Sunday, even though we brought up a lot of it. But one of them you just mentioned was injuries.
Right.
And that's one thing that astounds me from this performance is the fact that we lost so many people in that secondary. That's already was a concern of ours. Like you already said, they brought in backups and they somehow were able to contain Michael Thomas. And I mean, a lot of the run defense pressure was able to help them out, but it's a big thing. So Rodney McLeod is done for the year. with an ACL sprain, the Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate from the Eagles.
I can't believe he tore without an ACL. I can't believe he did.
You knew it was bad, though, seeing it was a non-contact. He was trying to avoid hitting Taysom Hill because of the quarterback rule, like the late hit rule. But it just sucks to see, man, because as soon as it happened, you could just see it, like, kind of jerk. And, ugh. Yeah.
And it breaks my heart. Also, wouldn't it be nice to have Will Parks here still?
Besides the fact he tried to have a little drama on the Twitter. Do you see that?
I'm here for it. I'll support him wholeheartedly for the drama on the Twitter.
I don't know. I feel like he's calling out the players. Because after Rodney and Slay and them tweeted at each other and said that, like, oh, like, brah, like, we'll be good, blah, 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 whatever they said. Will Parks, like, basically – not, is it subtweet when you don't add them?
Yes.
Yeah. So you basically subtweeted them and was like,
do you think he was targeting the whole team? I don't think he was targeting just that group of people. I think he was targeting like the whole team. Like, oh, they're going to try to pretend now that they're brothers and everything's good and there's no issues going on. Okay.
That's interesting.
If they all get hurt, they go in and they try to act like they're all family. All right.
You're right. It could be a bigger version or it could be the smaller version. I have no clue.
Because that's – so when I read it, I was like – to be completely honest, I didn't put it together about the three of the members of the secondary that got hurt all tweeting at each other. I didn't put that together about – I just took it as he was just totally going after the
– oh, I hope he's talking like, at the team.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like
because I agree with that.
Try to act like they're like everything's all hunky-dory in the locker room. All right, that's hilarious. Because there's clearly a divide, and there's clearly copious amounts of issues going on.
And it's just all – by Howie, it's just so frustrating. Okay, back to injuries,
Anyway, okay, Jack Driscoll done for the year with a high MCL sprain. Get ready for some Brett Talk, Matt Pryor, right tackle magic. Let's get this.
Yeah.
Darius Slay's in concussion protocol. And Avante Maddox, quote, will miss time. I assume we're not going to see him again this year.
Yeah. Maybe later this year.
I mean, if they happen to make the playoffs, maybe.
We'll see.
But
yeah.
Again, shooting themselves in the foot, 5 penalties, still not great. Things like, you know, Jordan Mailata's false start was his first false start. Also getting used to the different cadences from a new quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. But, you know, there were a couple in there that are just like, hey, come on, let's not.
Yeah, there were back-to-back there when they were in the red zone. I think it was like second half. I think it was in the fourth. But back-to-back penalties on them. After they had great field position and it took them, they still ended up scoring, thankfully, but it took them from like the 1 to the 15 or something like that. Yeah. So it's just stupid stuff like that that comes into play.
Jake Elliott, not good.
If anybody, if Eagles fans are telling the Eagles to take a $60 million, whatever it ends up being for Carson's cap hit, take the like $3.5 million or something that it is for Jake Elliott's cap hit then, because why not? Because he's that bad.
Yeah. I still question a lot of the decisions that the Eagles are making as a whole. Why is Greg Ward returning punts? Jalen Reagor was the first Eagle to return a punt for a touchdown since Darren Sproles in 2015. And they went, yeah, let's put Greg Ward back out there. And I tweeted that. And so many people were like, he doing the sideline hurt. He wasn't hurt. He was
fine. Yeah.
And he might have first punt of the game either. He ran entire length of the field when Miles Sanders scored a touchdown. He ran all 80 yards and met him in the end zone.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop. I agree with that. I mean, and as fast as he's supposed to be, he might have tweaked a hamstring, but that doesn't mean that he's not fast and getting smoked then. You know what I mean? So
He makes better decisions back there than Greg Ward does.
Well, okay, so on that point, I forget what coach it was this press conference or this – yeah, and the press conferences this week, most likely a special teams coach. I forget who it was, though, specifically. Did come out and say, because they were asked why Greg Ward was back there. And he said it's because Greg Ward makes better decisions than Jalen Reagor back there. That's what the team thinks.
Well, that's hilarious because I have not seen Greg Ward make the right decision one time. And we saw Jalen Reagor back there once. And he made the right decision about 4 different times when he avoided getting tackled to score a touchdown. You know, continuing with the wide receivers, Quez Watkins out snapping Travis Fulgham. Why?
Speaking of wide receivers, they literally combined all of them combined for 84 yards, and that's with a 40-yard catch by Jalen Reagor. Without that one catch, that's 44 yards the Eagles wide receivers combined for.
I have an enormous problem with the Eagles' inability to make their first-round pick a prominent part of their offense. Like, listen, Justin Jefferson has over 1,000 yards this season so far. Jalen Reagor has under 300. I get he missed a few games with an injury. I get that, but that gap should not be so big. It's no. Utilization and install. Or they made the wrong decision on draft night, which is fine, but they could still use Jalen Reagor in a bigger way. We talked about this. Justin Jefferson was the obvious choice. Still think they should have chose him at 21. However, I'm not upset that Jalen Rager's an Eagle, but he's not being – I mean, all it took – what? We've seen two reverses with Jalen Reagor in how many games? Like, we're going into week 15. I know we missed a few, but, like, we've seen that twice. Don't tell me that he's got speed and we're going to utilize his speed and put a bunch of creative things in there for his speed. That's why we drafted him and not do it. The inability to incorporate him in this offense is so unbelievably telling. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, I know. I'm not, it's so frustrating because it's coaching, it's player development. I don't know what it really comes down to, but the fact is he's not performing like how a first round number 21 overall should perform.
Right.
And all I can say about it is please, please stick to the four main food groups, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Alabama. Who am I forgetting?
No, that's it. You hit all four.
Yeah.
I just take a page out of the Sixers book for me for a minute. Listen yeah. to what the Sixers did. Obvious choice there. Couldn't believe he fell there. Killer from Kentucky. Let's not get cute. Let's just take the obvious choice. And it works. Imagine.
It almost always works. I feel like when you choose a top athlete from one of those schools that really performs at those schools,
right.
it almost always works unless an injury throws off their career.
And if it doesn't, no one's going to argue because no. everyone's going to be like,
it's not your fault. It's their fault.
Right. Like that didn't work out. But yeah. I would nine times, you know, 100 times out of 100, I still would have made that pick, right? All right, so now we'll go back into positive for a hot sec. Let's run.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What are your top three reasons for the Eagles win, Sam?
Okay, so my number one is just the whole entire team stepping up. It's something that we haven't seen. We talked about balance all year, and we finally saw it. So, I mean, that is my ultimate reason for this win is everybody played their part besides wide receivers. But they were picked up by other areas. So the whole team stepping up is my number one overall reason. My number two is Jalen Hurts because he was that reason they all stepped up. He, I mean, whether we all agree with it or not, he, I mean, maybe it is as simple as dropping him in there and it lights a spark. And also, you had it written down. I'm not sure if we hit on it. Maybe other people were afraid to lose their job because if you bench your quarterback, it really tells to the other players, I'm really not safe.
You're next.
Carson's not safe. Yeah, literally. So I think that might have helped out a lot there.
The only person that's safe is Cameron Johnston.
Yeah, literally. My number three is Doug Peterson. I know you probably don't agree with that, but I just think because overall he had a great scheme and he actually played to his quarterback strengths, something we haven't seen for majority of the year. And I know you said it's a little predictable, but I think that he just had to kind of make it simple because it was Hurts in there for his rookie game. You don't want to, you know what I mean, overwhelm him. So I think Doug's my number three for that. We'll also see how it plays out next week. We'll get into this, our episode, later this week. But because now they got film on Hurts, so we'll see how that plays into it.
And the secondary has to cover DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk. And Kyler Murray.
I was going to say, and chase down Kyler Murray.
So that'll be exciting. So my top three, Jalen Hurts. I thought he made really good decisions all night. Talked about how he left some plays out there. But, you know, I think ultimately his spark and his energy was really what carried them through. The offensive line, I thought they rallied and played their best game of the season, you know, to allow Jalen to really stay protected, but also to allow the run game to flourish the way it did. And then the defense, that's where I'm going to go with my last one, because I think without them being able to get off the field quickly, you know, and the offense was able to, you know, it allowed them to get out to a lead, allowed them to be able to continue utilizing that run game and, you know, continue to do what they were doing and not have to force Jalen Hurts to play some sort of hero ball to try to get them back in a game or keep them in a game or something like that. So I thought the defense playing as well as they did was a really crucial component to that win. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on in Philly because I'm hype. You are listening to the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back into episode number 54. Jess, your favorite thing besides the Eagles.
I love
the Eagles. Take the Sixers pregame or preseason game.
Speaking of Sixers pregame, we are going to find some Sixers games that we'll do a pregame show for. We'll find some good ones, maybe like on a Friday or a Saturday or something, or when they're playing, you know, the Celtics or the Lakers or like something like
big
that.
Big games, fun games.
We'll definitely get that going. So keep your eye out for that. But the Sixers, I mean, it took approximately 30 seconds for me to sit there and be like, wow, Dwight Howard, Danny Green, and Seth Curry are all really Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, Danny Green, I can't believe it. We were all so excited about his shooting, but, like, let's keep in mind his defense is championship level. And it's a big reason.
Back-to-back championship level.
Back-to-back championship level. He's a huge reason why both those teams won those championships and a huge reason why when he was a free agent after he won the championship in Toronto. Him and Seth Curry were the two guys I really wanted in that.
Yeah.
And it's because we needed a guy that could shoot the three and play defense. That's what we needed. And because you saw with a guy like JJ Redick, like he could shoot that three. We knew we might lose him in free agency, but that guy couldn't play defense for anything. I love JJ Redick so much. And I do wish he was still here. But the defense was just unbearable to watch sometimes. So a guy that could not only shoot the three, but also play elite level defense. Huh. Dwight Howard and Tony Bradley. I mean, we've tried to convince ourselves that everyone we've had in the last 4 years as a legit, like as a backup five was a legit backup. They weren't. And now
closest is probably Mike Scott, right?
I mean, he was the most tenacious, I guess, but like we tried to convince our, I mean, like we love Boban, right? But like, he wasn't good enough to back up Joel.
He's just like 7-8 feet tall.
Right. And too much of our offense was run through the center position with Brett Brown that like it was such a big transition that it like the fall off was way too big. You can still utilize Dwight Howard in a big role, but you're also not going to suffer in the boards. You're not going to take a step back in terms of defense. Like, and now that he has been on a championship team and sort of understands and has kind of reformed the way he thinks about being a role player, that's huge for the Sixers team. And Tony Bradley's been backing up Rudy Gobert for the last however many years. So bringing those two, both of them in here is, I can't even believe it. And I mean, Seth Curry, what is there to say about Seth Curry? The man is literally just a sniper. But last night, I mean, obviously preseason game one, right? Like it was funny because Joe was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make any assumptions about this team right now. I'm not going to get excited. And I'm over here like jumping up and down, dancing like a psycho, like championship, here we come. They didn't run any plays for Joel Embiid per Doc Rivers. The man still had 18 points last night. They ran no plays for Joel, and he still had 18 points. He was wide open on the elbow multiple times because defenses actually have to worry about other things. So he's just open in his spot. Why are you leaving Joel Embiid open? But the movement on the offense was great, and it's so refreshing to see. It's so wonderful. And Tyrese Maxey played the whole fourth quarter. This man is a walking bucket. Like, he plays with so much energy. He plays so fast. And it's something that we haven't seen. Like, our backup guards have been Howell Neto. What? I can't. personally, I would love to see Seth Curry come off the bench and give us that scoring. However, if Tyrese Maxey is going to come in and just get buckets and play defense, sold. Sold. Done. Sold. I can't believe he fell to them.
Yeah.
I am so happy.
They finally made the simple move. We said it earlier.
Made the simple decision. Just draft somebody out. I mean, like, what Kentucky just produces play. Like, you want to talk about a factory? Kentucky.
Yeah, and literally. Even
Coach Cal was like, they stole him. Like, there's no reason he should have been there. And the way he played, and keep in mind, he hadn't even been here because he didn't – I think he tested positive for COVID. So he hadn't been with the team for all of camp. He had been here for, like, 3 days. And
so it's only going to get better when he builds that camaraderie with the team and gets in sync with them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's exciting.
I think – you know, the best thing about it is there's something to be excited about again.
Besides and Flyers, but.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm super excited for when the Flyers come back. I just mean in terms of the Sixers, we have reasons to be excited again. I will fight anybody about Ben Simmons. It took me approximately 4 minutes into the game to start. I just don't understand why we're complaining about something when it
quite literally can't even happen. Like, I mean, sorry, I'm going ahead of it. Like, but all the people saying, yeah, he can't shoot, blah, 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 blah. Doc Rivers has come out and said that in his system, it's not as big of a priority as everybody thinks. And two, with the trade talk, one, you're just nuts if you think that Ben Simmons should be traded for freaking, I'm blanking on his name, Harden.
Did you see the picture of James Harden?
He literally looks like JP. That was my favorite one. I retweeted it. It literally looks like Jason Peters out there.
That price tag dropped immensely. They lost all leverage. All.
Dude, it should have. I didn't watch their preseason game, obviously, but I want to see how his stamina – like, he does not look healthy.
Uh-uh.
I can't see a basketball player running up and down the court with that.
Listen to me. You're not getting Ben Simmons for that. I'm not trading Ben Simmons' athleticism for that.
Athleticism for anybody right now, but I think it's trading. Just
– I said before, there's not one person in the NBA I'm trading Ben Simmons for. Not one.
No, and I think it's just ridiculous that people even still want to talk about it, and then especially ridiculous when they say it's for Harden, because Doc Rivers has quite literally come out and said he's off the table. Him and Joel are off the table.
Right, and we have to keep in mind, I mean, Ben Simmons is 24, Joel Embiid's what, 27, 26, 27, somewhere around there. Some of the best players in NBA history didn't win until they were in their late 20s. Michael Jordan didn't get to the finals and win his first NBA championship until he was 28. And people conveniently want to leave that out of an argument over what are these people done by 24? James Harden was in the finals. Okay, James Harden was the sixth man on that team. The sixth man on that Thunder team. And they lost in the finals, by the way. James Harden doesn't have a ring to show anybody, okay? And then you want to talk about, oh, well, Tim Duncan, okay. Well, think about the Hall of Famers that he was with.
Kawhi was just a great team and a great coach.
Think about the Hall of Famers that he was with. Come on.
And literally coaching Hall of Fame, too. That's one thing that's
– right. Well, Kobe was drafted out of high school and didn't win until they hired Phil Jackson. So let's give the Sixers a chance. Let's give our young guys a chance with a guy like Doc Rivers, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, people say that, the only person they're looking at has to be LeBron. That's the only person you can argue, and that's the only
– Oh, I'm sorry, one of the greatest players of all time.
I'm saying he literally doesn't even count.
Right, like he's an animal. The man's going into year 18 of his NBA career. And he's, knock on all of the wood, never had a major injury of any kind. Like, let's keep – Ben Simmons lost his first year to a major injury, right? Yeah. Like, I understand the frustration, but let's not start complaining about a functioning offense because you have a problem with the way Ben Simmons plays. Like,
agreed.
It's not a Sixers problem. Like, it's a you problem. And to say Ben Simmons hasn't improved over the last couple years is stupid, one. Just because he didn't improve in the place that you want him to improve doesn't mean he hasn't improved. Again, that's a you problem that you need to figure out. just because you're upset with the way he plays and he's not a, quote, traditional point guard.
Agreed.
Get over it. Anyway, now we're going to, you know, bring it back in. Thank you again for listening to episode 54. Be sure to keep an eye out for our pregame show this week. They play again at 4, so we'll be back around 2:45. Thank you, as always, to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. We will talk to you on Sunday.
BGN.